what also is going to come out of that is after those first eight games, they're going to say, yeah, we need some help here. We need to get some reinforcements. And the Niners have been very, they've shown they're aggressive. They've been very aggressive. They've shown they're not afraid to make a move. Year in and year out, they make trades during the season, whether it's McCaffrey, whether it's Emmanuel Sanders, whether it's Chase Young, whether it's a smaller move like a Menihu. They'll make a move to make their team better, and I don't think this year is going to be any different. Do I think it's going to be a huge move? No, I do not. Like, I saw you tweet something about Max Crosby. I think you're insane.
Well, no. the only reason I tweeted that is because I was actually somebody had tweeted out from SpotTrack. SpotTrack had tweeted out what a team acquiring Max Crosby would owe Max Crosby and what the dead cap hit would be for the Raiders for Max Crosby.
Mm-hmm.
And it was surprising to me just how reasonable his contract is. And that was kind of the impetus for to just say, look, if they were to be willing to part with him, I don't think the 49ers should hesitate to give up at least a first. I mean, it would have to be more than just one first. But I mean, the guy is 27 years old. The team acquiring him would owe him $16.8 million this season, but obviously that goes down each week that he isn't traded, right? Because that number just goes down from the right. Raiders paying him. But then it's $23.1 million in 2025 non-guaranteed and $19.7 million in 2026 non-guaranteed. So very similar to like the Christian McCaffrey contract. So my tweet was if they would be willing to trade him, 49ers should not hesitate to give up a first and whatever else they need to make that. And then just immediately rework his deal, guarantee at least those 2 years in the form of a signing bonus, you know, make it a 2 or 3 year extension. Right. Then you get to kind of spread that all out. And it just, like I said, it would be a no brainer, but I mean, half the league would be in on that. And so, I mean, I'm not anticipating anything like that happening, but that would be big. You know, I think I agree with you. I think they're going to make moves. I think it's going to be under the radar moves. Mm-hmm. And I think the likely scenario is that it's on the defensive line. I think I don't know where else 100%. They would look to add, because I think that there are a couple things that you could look at for this team and go, we are not good at these specific positions, but we've got players in the pipeline that in the second half of the season may be able to take over. And so to me, that is Jake Brendel at center. John Feliciano is close to coming back. I wouldn't be surprised if after the bye, he's the starting center for the 49ers. I think it's the biggest weakness on the line right now. In fact, Ben Baldwin put out today his 2024 true pass set grade, and the 49ers are currently 13th, buoyed largely by the play of Trent Williams, but mm-hmm. also by the play of Dominic Pooney and Aaron Banks. Dominic Pooney right now is the 9th rated guard on PFF.
I saw
and,
that.
Banks is the 18th rated guard. So again, both are playing well.
You know who the number one rated quarterback is?
Brock Purdy. No big deal.
Yeah.
But Jake Brendel is really weighing down that line. And so I think you can make an upgrade with an in-house move at John Feliciano. And then to me, obviously Dre Greenlaw coming in for at this point, D Winners, Devondre Campbell, whatever.
That'll be like a midseason.
That's
pickup.
A big.
If he's 80% of himself, it's a huge difference.
Possibly the biggest pickup of all could be a second half appearance from Christian McCaffrey. We don't know. I don't expect it, but again, that's still on the table. Not saying it's going to happen, but it's on the table. So
and that's the elephant in the room for the Niners. I feel like McCaffrey, because you're getting arguably the best player in the league.
Right.
If and when he comes back, it's obviously going to be a huge boon to the team.
And so to me, like, I just somewhere along the defensive line, I also think that it's time for them to sign Evan Anderson to the 53 man. They cannot elevate him again. Again, granted, limited sample size, mm-hmm. But he is the 4th highest ranked or rated defensive player on the 49ers on PFF this season, Evan Anderson, behind Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, and He might be third, actually. He has like a 91.8 grade on PFF. Oof, right
does
now.
He really?
Now, like I said, yeah. Like I said,
limited, very small sample size.
Very small sample size, but he has played really well when he's been in. And I think it's high time that they sign him to the 53 because they can't elevate him again. Please, I just hope that they don't mess around and just leave him on the practice squad and elevate T.Y. McGill because they don't have to sign. Like, no, let's just sign Evan Anderson. You know, and you have a rotation of Anderson, Malik Collins, Jordan Elliott, and Kalia Davis and Kevin Givens, and that's a pretty solid rotation. And if you can find an upgrade on the trade market, then go for it. But honestly, I think they would probably look edge more than they would interior. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, Hassan Reddick is still out there. The Jets have given him permission to seek a trade. I don't know if the 49ers would be willing to give him a contract that he would want in order to, you know, show up
anybody.
But they do have the cap. I mean, they have the cap space. I know that they want to roll over a ton of it or Brock Purdy. I understand that, but at the same time, your window is now. And if you feel like, again, you're looking across the NFC and going, if we can go on a run here, I think we could represent the NFC again. You got to make a move to maximize that window.
Well, I feel like the rest of the season is where this is to say, because they have so much talent. This season is going to be about grinding it out and just getting to January as healthy as you can. And then seeing what happens when you get in the dance again. 10 wins is going to win the NFC West. It just is. There's no way. The Cardinals are all over the place. I don't think they're going to get to 8. The Rams are just too beat up. I mean, the Rams are 1-4. So what? They have to go 9-3 down the stretch to get to 10 wins. I doubt that they're going to do that. In Seattle, I think they're garbage. They beat 3 terrible teams and they've lost their last 3 games. Yep. They have Atlanta this week. If they lose this week, they're in a lot of trouble losing 4 straight. 9-10 wins is going to get the Niners in the playoffs. That's all you got to do at this point. And then see where you are in January. You're a playoff tested team. You're a veteran team. They know how to win playoff games. Get in there and see what happens. I'd love for them to get the bye. I don't see it at 3-3. If they beat the Chiefs, it could take them on a little bit of a, because it could be a holy shit moment. Trent Williams said it doesn't make up for the Super Bowl, and he's 100% right.
Oh, but yeah, no doubt.
Still give you a shot in the arm to say, you know what? We haven't played our best, but we just beat our rival or just beat the team that we haven't been able to get over the hump against. Now we're going to go on a run, right? Now that everything is going to carry over from there. But,
not only that, but, you know, you got to expect as the 49ers are like, listen, if we want to win the Super Bowl, who are we most likely to meet there? We're most likely to meet the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
If you lose again to them for the 5th straight time, do you go into that Super Bowl very confident that you can beat that team? Probably not, right?
Yeah. Late, so again, in the game, you're wondering what's going to happen.
For a team that has Super Bowl aspirations, they got to slay the dragon. I mean, I know it doesn't make up for it, but it does set them up to be more successful if they have to face the Chiefs in the Super Bowl than losing, right? So if they lose to the Chiefs on Sunday, it is what it is. They're 3-4. Mm-hmm. They beat the Cowboys. They go into the bye 4-4. They go on their standard second half run, you know, finish the season 11-6, 10-7, whatever it is. Likely not going to get the bye, but you never know what's going to happen. Again, you know, Detroit's defense may fall off without Aiden Hutchinson. They may not be able to swing a trade for an edge player that can make a difference. Mm-hmm. You know, you never know. So, but again, the Chiefs to the 49ers what the 49ers are to the Cowboys. The Cowboys are never going to be successful in the playoffs until they prove that they could beat the 49ers. Just like I don't think the 49ers are going to be a Super Bowl champion until they prove that they can beat the team that has taken them out 2 times in a row. Does a week 7 game against the Chiefs matter in the grand scheme of things? No, but for potential Super Bowl matchups, knowing that you at least have a victory in your back pocket would be huge for this team.